Hello all K-pop fans, stans, and everyone in between. I'm Dan. I know nothing about K-pop, but that hasn't stopped my three friends here from dragging me into the K-pop abyss. Say hi, everyone.
Hey, this is Dominique.
This is Melissa.
Jamie.
Got the energy going up on this recording today, guys.
What?
I honestly was trying to restrain myself from just going, hi, everybody. Because we always get yelled at when we do.
Why did I yell? When did I yell at you about that?
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Okay. Well, what are we talking about this week, Dom?
So today we have one of our deep dives once again. No whining. So the deep dive for, deep dive.
Of who?
It's fine. This is fine. I'm totally focused. So it's our first soloist.
Is it really our first soloist?
Yes.
Yeah.
For a deep dive, it's our first soloist.
Wow.
Wanted to kind of change the pace of looking at groups.
Huh.
Because K-pop encompasses more than just groups.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically, it's like she's known as kind of, her title is like quote unquote the nation's little sister, and this is IU.
Okay, I can kind of see that based on what you guys showed me today.
They say that, but then like she's also in like her late 20s now, so I'm just kind of like, I think it's time for you to change your title.
28.
She turns 29 this year.
Yeah.
Like in a month. Yeah. Less than like 2 weeks.
Well, my little sister's 30 and she's still my little sister, so I don't know what else to say about that.
Anyway, so like in relation, like I guess to kind of like get a, so you can get a grasp on her popularity in Korea, I'd say she's, I guess equivalent wise, it'd be kind of like along the lines of like Taylor Swift, like just in terms of renown and just popularity.
Okay.
Not the same amount of hate. Everyone in Korea like loves her.
Okay. All right. Well.
What? Taylor Swift is very polarizing in the United States. Like I'm just, it's just being honest.
Okay.
I'm on relax.
Anyway, IU debuted in September 18th, 2008. And we're going to be covering about kind of like 6 of her songs.
Yep.
Anyone else have anything else to say?
She's your favorite idol's idol.
Okay, can you elaborate on that?
It's what it sounds like. Every idol fucking loves her. She's like the ideal for every male idol.
Okay.
Yeah, her, like when she came on, like her existence basically became like another like version of like Girls' Generation, but it's a soloist.
Oh, all right, interesting.
Like. So all of your idols look up to her. All of your idols kind of wanted to be her, and then all of your idols just want to date her.
Huh. So is there a reason why we chose this artist to be our first solo feature for a deep dive?
Well, she's pretty much like the most popular and most well-known K-pop soloist.
She's also like very in line with the rest of K-pop, unlike some of the other soloists.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was wondering, like, you know, I was surprised. Like, I thought our first solo should be, like, I don't know, like, something like BoA or something like that.
Oh, wait, we did do BoA.
Yeah, you guys, I was waiting for you guys to remember. I was trying to, like, wait. No, I totally not right.
Look, like, a lot of brain power goes into making, into, like, planning these out and choosing out the songs, okay?
They've had this planned for a month now.
Yeah.
And in that month, none of you, when you guys are like, yeah, our first solo is like, did you, none of you guys look at the previous ones and go, oh wait.
Boa, I mean, I doesn't count.
Let's say we had a brain fart and get out.
Okay. So let's start off with the first.
This is like the one time Daniel's able to fight back at us.
So moving on with the first song.
Okay, so the first song is her debut song, which was Lost Child.
Okay, so this is an interesting debut because based on this first song alone, I thought I was going to get something completely different from the rest of what you guys showed me.
Like, she's very versatile. Like, she's, again, one of those versatile artists. Because in Korea, it's kind of like you have two set standards. You have either the people that just do what they're good at and stick to it, like their style, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the artists that experiment and do other things and try different things.
Hmm. Okay.
It was definitely a debut, though. Like, it's very interesting to watch.
It's definitely
considering she's, like, 15 at the time.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Some thoughts when I was watching this video is it's a kind of unsettling video, to be honest. There's parts of that video that made me feel really like skeezed out, like the writhing guy coming out of the bog. I did not enjoy that.
I mean, when they do horror, like, they do horror usually. Like,
oh, sure, all right. Song wise, though, I mean, it was. I can tell that there is potential in this artist, like, by the song alone, in terms of vocal ability. You guys wouldn't have probably picked her if there wasn't. So that's kind of what I started focusing on as I went forward with this set list.
Mm-hmm.
The video is very different than what you really get with the song, though.
Oh, like the lyrics in relation to the actual view of it, essentially?
Yeah, I couldn't really pay attention to that because whenever I watch these things, if there's lyrics in the YouTube video itself, fine, but I don't actually go out of my way to find the translations. So
fair. When we get to the descent, I specifically had chosen out the lyrics so you can actually see what the lyrics are saying. Mm-hmm. There is a live stage for it, though, but it just didn't. I just figured the lyrics were better for that one.
Okay.
Anyway, Jamie, have your rethoughts?
Your notes.
Okay. That's a gown. Weirdly dark concept. Creepy near naked people. Are they zombies? What the fuck does this make IU in this situation? Is she dead? She's definitely dead. We just realized she might be in a wedding dress. End.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Talking shit all over again.
I mean,
I can say over.
Anyway, so our next song, we go into IU's Marshmallow, and this was released November 12th, 2009. Marshmallow.
Talk about a mood whiplash. My god, you guys gave me like a really interesting set of videos to juxtapose here for my discovery. Because I went from like dark video to poppy saccharine, literally like sweet because it's marshmallow and yeah.
Like, did not expect that. Bubblegum pop, right?
That's it's unbelievably like...
We called, like, we were watching it, and it's just literally the mood shift between the two, and it's just like, Daniel's gonna have the biggest whiplash going between these.
Yeah, my neck really hurts from that. Thanks, guys. I gotta see a chiropractor now.
Because, it definitely went from very dark to very happy and poppy.
Like, there is no in between.
Just all the colors.
Clearly. Black and then does everything else.
Like very gray toned, and then it's just like here, the rainbow came out.
But
the rainbow.
My prediction was right when like, yeah, you guys are gonna basically show, when I thought you guys are gonna show me a person with a lot of range, and wow, does this show that she has one hell of a range.
It's why she's so popular, too.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Any other thoughts, Daniel, on this one?
No, actually, because I was just so thrown off by just the mood shift, so nothing really stopped.
Marshmallow, 2009. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. More typical IU. Daniel's gonna get whiplash. Bring on the bubble pop.
Mm-hmm.
Why that mustache randomly?
That just gave very, very big Mamamoo vibes to me.
It did.
See, Daniel understands.
Walking marshmallow. Mm-hmm. Melissa says slippers are cute. I'm not used to this short hair from IU. She's 16 in this video, which makes the previous video even weirder. End.
I can't. What? It's fine. It's
Shall
fine.
Shall we move on?
Okay. Yeah. So the next song from there was December 9th, 2010, and that is Good Day.
Okay, so now that I've gotten back from Marshmallow, I'm kind of like over the mood whiplash, so now I kind of know what to expect. Yeah, no, I kind of really did enjoy this song. The video was actually kind of fun to watch because of the really odd beginning to me. I was like, well, I was like thinking like, where is this going with the bird? I'm not really sure.
The bird.
Yeah, that parrot. I really enjoyed the, I don't know, this is like just a really catchy earworm of a song that I couldn't help but enjoy.
I agree with this statement, though, because I think I said the exact same thing to Jamie earlier. Or at least some iteration of it.
Also, my favorite part of the video is just when she's walking around her apartment and then there's the musician in each of the rooms playing the instruments. I thought it was funny.
I think Jamie has comments on that one. Yes, okay. Yes, she does. I'm staring at her comments, so.
You can read the list if you want.
No, it's fine. Oh. You do it better, so.
Would you like me to read the list?
Please.
Parrot. Melissa says she looks less like a baby.
Yes, see, like.
Go ahead, Daniel.
It's like watching someone that came from middle school and then he, like, go away for a few years, and then you're back like, oh, shit, she's grown up.
Like, well, it's only a year different, but like just the look from like going from Marshmallow to this was just like, you look like a baby, but you're less like a baby.
She doesn't look like a kid anymore, basically.
Yeah, like she, like within that year is when she like really like started to grow up kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And like started to like lose like the baby look.
And then she never aged again.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that already preemptively. Okay.
This guy gives no fucks about a bird in his shop. This song I remember from back in the day. What a weird lead up to this. She's Velma on a rooftop. That's some real yellow eyeshadow on one eye. She really abandoned that bird. Just a guy following her in a suit. Is he like a spirit? Is he the bird? Sounds good. Much more of her vocal ability is shown. Mm-hmm. Melissa. How does he know where she lives? And then I say, I am confusion, but pretty sure this is like her breakout song. End.
What's this her breakout song?
Good Day.
Yeah, I think like, so like everyone knew she could sing, but then like Good Day really, I think, put her on the map. It was essentially like that song that lifted her up into mainstream, popular. I guess you could say.
Okay, because yeah, you're that vocal ability she showed off in this song is like really impressive and really nice to listen to. So again, I kind of became a fan by this song.
If I can say, of all the songs that we listened to for this, I want to say this is probably my favorite one.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
And I think it's just because it is catchy, but it also really does show, like, the range that she does have.
Hmm.
Anyway.
All right. Yeah.
Next one, we skip a whole 8 years of her career to go to October 10th, 2018 with her release, BB. Yellow C-A-R-D.
Well, I just want to say, that, first of all, that this is actually my favorite song on based on what you guys gave me.
No.
Why is that so funny?
No, because I said it was my least favorite.
Oh. Okay.
Because Daniel's on my side.
Yeah, no, it's because I do enjoy, like, that R&B vibe, and this really has that in spades. I love the hook. I thought that was really fun. Her video where it's just her dancing with a monotone face, I thought that was really neat. Man, this girl is really talented and has a lot of, you know, ability. I'm becoming a fan from this deep dive alone.
And Melissa, it's not hard to be an opposite of you.
I know. Oh.
Really not. Like, the closest of the four of us here, the closest one to your style of taste in music is me. And that's barely.
Yeah, this is fair.
I got
anyway.
Yeah, to not continue picking on me like always.
We got way more recent IU. She has way too many songs we couldn't choose. More in line with her style now, catchy chorus. Ah, it's a haters gonna hate song. Mm-hmm. At that point, we had turned on the subs. This video has nothing to do with the song, though.
No, it doesn't.
Are the Umbrella people the netizens? Social media, the song with a dash of paparazzi, I guess. Okay, me and Melissa Googled this one. It's 10th anniversary song. It's about her transition from Nation's little sister to a quote-unquote more mature image, but ultimately she's still IU. Also, paparazzi, get out of my face. End.
What, was there a thing with the paparazzi going around this time?
I mean, it's 2018, yeah.
No, yeah, but what was she, like, being scrutinized around this time for some reason?
Like, if you're at a celebrity business, everyone's scrutinized. Like, there are people
like, you know, up in your business for everything.
There's people that wait outside your home like 24/7 and then like just stalk you and then follow you, know all of your schedules are there. What is it? Didn't Melissa's favorite group, NCT, have someone like climbing in the vents to take pictures of them while they were doing some V-Live or something?
Probably. But also, you know, if you just read the lyrics, you would get it.
No, yeah, I did, first of all. These videos had the subtitles on, so. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, my favorite song so far. Let's move on.
All right. So from there, we're going to skip over to November 18th, 2019, with the song Blooming.
Okay, soccer, this is like my second favorite song.
Okay.
It seems like at this point she kind of solidified her sound, and this is where she's going to be, I guess from what Jamie says, this is what's going to be going forward for her, at least from what I've seen. More of the same vibe I like in my pop music. I got nothing else to say here.
That's fair.
You got anything?
I mean, I liked this one.
So, full disclosure, this is probably... It's like one of her more popular songs, but I don't particularly love it.
Anyways.
I like how we're like all over the place with these.
Yeah, like I've always thought about that. I always kind of thought that about Blooming. It's just kind of very mid to me, but whatever. Anyway.
It's a very, very kind of classic song.
Just pop.
Yeah.
This one's very literal. It's a love song. It's a good song. Also blue hair. This song did pretty well. Just biking in grandma clothes. Not sus at all. That pink outfit was a lot. There are some really weird outfits, but they work on her.
Yeah, yep. Did.
Also, just with the biking thing, pretty sure it was just E.T. Definitely E.T.
I really wonder how many of our listeners would actually get that reference.
They can look it up.
Was aging himself again.
All I know is I saw her on the bike, and I'm just like, this is just E.T. This is E.T. right now.
All right,
surprised that Jamie didn't write it in some way.
I forgot.
Because I know I said it a few times.
You were trying to subconsciously plan in her head.
Yeah, basically it didn't work. That's normal.
Okay. Final song.
Our final song. We have her latest title track. Well, more specifically, it's her dual title track. But we only chose one of the two. It released March 25th, 2021, and this is the title track, Lilac.
Alright, so I know I said that BBB is like my favorite song you gave me, but this is the song that actually is going to repeat because I just do love, again, this, I guess you guys are figuring that I do like a retro sound to my pop music, and this to me has that with like a disco-esque beat.
Well, that's video, the trend right now.
And I'm not complaining. the video was really fun to look at. I did like the random train fight out of nowhere. I don't know if that was almost an old boy or something, but
a random train fight.
Very random train fight. Wasn't the best choreography, but all right.
Well, what was it? You should check out Coin after this, probably. Which is the other title track.
Okay.
Or just go listen to the entire album, probably.
Yep.
Probably you'd have to.
Yeah. We chose Lilac because, you know, the album's literally called Lilac.
Hmm. Also, this, when Jamie mentioned this, like, yeah, holy shit, she has not aged in 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, she did like a drama. It's very obvious. She definitely pulled off playing an immortal.
Oh, she played an immortal.
Yeah, yeah, like legitimately. The drama was called Hotel de Luna.
Uh-huh.
So, in case anyone wants to go check it out, she's also a great actress, on top of being a wonderful singer and then being pretty decent at dancing.
Damn. Okay.
Like, you needed all of that piled on top of her talents, right?
Mm-hmm. Basically, she can do it all.
All right. Okay, cool.
Anyway, yeah, so... yeah, probably I'm fully expecting like a message from Daniel at some point going, guys, I just added like All About You songs to my thing.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah.
Well, now that you said it, I can't just say it now. Thanks.
Yeah, because we're calling you out on it beforehand. It's a preemptive call out.
So I now the audience can assume. Oh, okay. Fine. Bring it.
Daniel has not been looking at my ads to him. He should definitely add the things that I at him. It was okay. Very publicly on Discord, too. Anyways, I got
Discord
notes.
That anyone can join.
We'll talk about that later.
Anyway, we'll go, we'll do the notes, and then we can wrap this up with the descent.
I bought it. Where are you going? All the albums, apparently, as pointed out by Melissa. Dancing Train. Is it clear it's in spring? Parrot Guy is back, and she's beating people up. Is he like her company CEO or something? Probably not. All the looks. I forgot about this animated portion. Wait, is she going through all her albums? Because 8 was animated too. There's a whole ass story / Easter eggs I'm missing from this album, TBH. Confirmed by Melissa, someone made a video.
There's a lot of Easter eggs in this video.
Hmm.
Because, like, we just from the start, like, we're looking at it, and I think, like, I don't remember if I, like, restarted it for some reason. Oh, because I think we couldn't find the lyrics originally on it. So Jamie had, like, refound the video, and I'm, like, staring at the board in the back in the train station. I'm just like, oh, that's listing out all of her albums. And Jamie looks at it, and she just goes, oh, yeah, that is. And then, like, it's just like, oh, like, the clock next to it is, like, the release date of the album of 325. And then, like, the board on the left, like, when she's sitting in the train station, says a bunch of stuff. And then I think we stopped after that because it was just like, oh, no, the ticket itself, too. Because it's like the seat number was like I-29 because she turned 29 this year. And then the whole story of it's like her going from like just transitioning into her 30s, essentially, of going from high blooming to bi-blooming. Basically,
like high lack of
yeah, that one.
It's because it's also there were two versions of this album, and it was called the high lack version and the bi lack version.
Anyways, I got also Daniel. I heard that call out. I'm blind. Also, I was typing notes for this podcast.
I am legit drawing a blank when you said I saw that call out.
I think she means when with the board in the back.
Yes.
Oh.
Because you had said like you had noticed it too.
Oh. Okay.
I don't think it was much of a call out, but
I was just saying I saw that too. I was like, oh, neat.
Descent.
Yes, please descent. Before you guys confuse me further.
Hey. When did you?
Okay, ignoring her. Okay, so the descent was this time again related to IU, and it was one of her tracks. I believe it's a B-side track, though she did have a live stage for it. It was called Cruel Fairy Tale, and this was released in 2011.
So this was a fun reminder of where she came from. I enjoyed it. It was actually, I do like that whimsical Burton-esque vibe to it. I don't know if I'm like being this like insulting or not, but that's that was my first impression. Especially I watched the live stage of it afterwards, and like when I see like, oh look, it's it's Alice in Wonderland. So
fun fact, I specifically sent you guys the lyrics version of this song, right?
Yes.
So in the actual lyrics, the person who wrote this song, there's actually references to 5 fairy tales within the lyrics of this song.
Okay.
I didn't notice shit.
I'm pretty sure one of them is supposed to be Cinderella.
It was the clock striking 12, because I'm pretty sure
That was the thing that stuck out the most. So.
Yeah, so the songwriter revealed 4 of them and then said the last one is up for everyone else to find, which the last one that wasn't revealed was the Cinderella one that everyone speculated.
What are the other 4?
Yeah.
Rapunzel, Hansel and Gretel, and then Little Mermaid, and then, Cinderella was already... was revealed. The 5th one is not yet revealed completely.
Oh. 10 years later and this hasn't been revealed? Damn.
There might be, but I haven't seen any references of her right now, and I haven't looked at the lyrics recently.
Okay. Anyone else have thoughts on this one?
Do I know this song? It's tickling something in the back of my brain. This is very anti-IU style again. I don't have very much to say about this one, TBH. I figured out what this reminds me of. Yeah, the Anastasia thing. But also, there is a cello player slash singer, Kanon Wakashima. She did, like, the Vampire Night opening, blah, 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 whatever. But she has, like, that song called Still Doll. It's same vibe.
I know what you're talking about. Because you didn't mention that earlier. Mm-hmm. But now that, like, I'm looking at it and you mention it, I can see that. Because I do know that song for sure. And it does give that vibe. It's a weird mixture of the two.
Yes.
And to elaborate on the Anastasia thing, we were talking about it.
Once Upon a December.
Yeah, we were talking about
okay.
it. The backbeat of it and the vibe in general really reminds us of that song. So I don't know if everyone out there that's listening might understand that reference. But if you just go look at Once Upon a December from
Anastasia,
then you'll I think you'd be able to kind of get the drift of where we were kind of thinking.
Side note, that's like my favorite song from that movie.
It's everyone's favorite song from that movie.
Jordan, that's exactly what you think of.
They really should remake it. Or remaster it or something.
Leave it alone.
I wouldn't mind the movie adaptation of the stage version they did, but okay.
I think she just shook from downstairs because I heard a shushing all the way upstairs.
She did just shush.
Also, they have made a musical of this, by the way. It's very good. It's fine. Let's just let the musical live.
How about we move on?
Yeah, let's wrap this up. We are not starting a freaking musical podcast.
I would love it if we did that.
maybe as a pilot. So we'll put a pin on that for later.
Oh my god, I could just force everyone to watch every musical.
Oh, I would actually enjoy that show. Shut up. Okay.
April Fool's the show.
All right, well, if you guys want to recommend a song for The Descent or recommend an artist or a group for a deep dive, hit us up on the official network Twitter at NGP Productions on just about everything. You can find the link tree down below in the description. And also, don't forget to join our Discord where you can hang out with us and all the cast members of all our other shows. And yes, apparently see all the tags that Jamie puts me in and I apparently ignore unintentionally. But where can people find us individually? So, Dom?
Twitter, at TheStoryMan.
Melissa?
At SubjectDespair.
Jamie?
At VioletDreadly.
And you can find myself at PerpetualPlayer on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you liked it and enjoy it, please do not forget to give us a review, a rating on wherever you get this show. And, you know, it really helps us. And honestly, we just love seeing that. So thank you for listening to Drag the K-Pop Abyss. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.